bringing you key insights, tips, and advice from the brightest minds in the Canadian franchise industry, this is the Franchise Canada Chats podcast. I'm Gary Prenevost, your host of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast, where we take you into the world of franchising. Season 7 of Franchise Canada Chats will feature interviews with franchisees, franchisors, and industry leaders sharing key insights and expert advice on navigating challenges on their path to success. Franchise Canada Chats is brought to you by FranNet, Canada's franchise matchmaking experts. At FranNet, we help you to build your optimum business model. Then we introduce you to well-suited franchise options. Then, most importantly, we coach you through all aspects of your research so that you can arrive at an informed and defensible yes or no decision.
Hello, everyone in Canada Franchise Land. This is Gary Prenevost, president of FranNet of Southern Ontario and author of the just-released book, The Unstoppable Franchisee. It's my pleasure today to welcome our guest, Brian Lemon, who is a B ProTech franchisee from Winnipeg. He joined the franchise industry after a lifelong career in the government relations and advocacy sector, which couldn't be further from the chemical floor ceiling that he oversees as a B ProTech franchisee. We're excited to get into his experience and some of the transferable skills he's used to make that jump. Brian, welcome to Franchise Canada Chats.
Thank you, Gary.
You approached franchising after retiring from a long-term career. Tell us about that journey, please.
Yeah, really had a great career. Really enjoyed my time. I worked with the federal government for 34 years, then moved on and represented the private sector in the agricultural industry as an advocate for the agricultural producers. And decided at one point I wanted to make a change, and had a few ideas of things that I wanted to do, things that I was interested in doing, things that I wanted to stay away from doing. And as a result, found myself looking at franchise opportunities and spent some time doing my due diligence, looking at different opportunities, and landed with B ProTech.
Okay, I'll come back to that in a moment. I'm just curious, in that transition, did you actually fully stop and retire for a while and have time to reflect, or was it, hey, I'm purposefully changing and managing that shift so I stay engaged?
No, I had retired, and I guess COVID caused us all sorts of heartaches, but also presented us opportunities. And at the time, I was working as an advocate on a contract for an agricultural group. And when COVID hit, their funding all but dried up. And of course, the contracts were the first thing to go. So I found myself with the opportunity to look at other avenues.
Okay, and so did you look at a bunch of options? Like, how did you find B ProTech in that search?
You know what? Online. I went online and looked at the Canadian Franchise Association has got a great tool that helps you sort of navigate through the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds or thousands of opportunities that might be available as a franchisee. And you're able to look at different industries. You're able to look at different investment levels. And I kind of knew what I wanted. I wasn't looking to open up a restaurant. I wasn't looking to open up a storefront. I was looking for something that where I could work from home or out of a truck. And I had an investment dollar in mind, and I kind of whittled it down to the search results and started looking at the different opportunities. Now, in my case, the product that B ProTech installs is a product that personally I was very interested in to begin with. It's okay. A product that I had always looked at and said, wow, that would be fabulous to have in my garage. And so there was an interest in the product right off the bat from a personal perspective. And then as we walked through the different disclosure documents and the different process with the franchisee or with the franchisor, I gained a level of comfort, gained a level of understanding of how the company was run, And at the same time, I was still working with a number of others, but the B Protech one kept bubbling to the top.
Okay, so it's interesting. A lot of our listeners and viewers are people who are at the stage, I want to be a, own a franchise, but I'm not sure what my options are. I'm not sure where to look. It sounds like you started with a certain set of criteria before going searching. Did I understand that correctly? Like you narrowed it down? What's your advice to would-be franchisees around that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're absolutely right. In my case, I had a sense, like I said, I had a sense of things that I didn't want to get involved in and I didn't want to do. I wasn't looking at opening a restaurant. I wasn't looking at having a huge staff. I wasn't looking at trying to keep what I'll call mall hours. I've always enjoyed working with my hands and being active and enjoying woodwork and fixing things. And so I sort of had a, you know, the home reno industry was one that was of interest to me. So yeah, I went in with that, and I would encourage everybody that if you don't have some ideas, the search can get overwhelming because there can just be way too much to look at.
Yeah, and that's some of the advice that we at Franet give the advice to the clients and that the work that we work with is help them with is get that clarity first. What you know, we're going to talk about your transferable skills in a moment, but what are the resources that each individual brings? There's three main categories: transferable skills, amount of time, and amount of money that they want to deploy. But then there's a whole set of criteria, and you just mentioned a few: no mall hours, you know, the working with your hands, and those different elements. So it's when you start with that, it's easy to eliminate things that don't fit that, isn't it? It really narrows down that search.
Exactly. And in my case, the position I was in my life, I wasn't looking to necessarily take on certain types of opportunities. And so that drove me to look at a smaller subset. And, you know, I looked at probably, I'm going to say I worked probably with maybe half a dozen companies that kind of fit the mold of what I was looking at. And as I said, I went back and forth with a few of them, went further with some than with others. The B Protech one just kept coming to the top.
There's a lot of transferable skills that are important in franchise ownership. And you had it sounds like a great career in the government relations work. So please share with us how that experience helped you get started and build your franchise.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it helped me with the search. You know, I think having that sort of critical process to say, well, you know, the ability to write down and put on paper, here's the box that I'm interested in. Here's the things that are sort of non-starters for me. And having that critical thought process where I was able to actually help myself with my search by eliminating a lot of the other opportunities that might be out there. So probably my management and my advocacy skills from my previous career helped me in a lot of that in terms, you know, in government and in agriculture, we talk about, you know, how do you eat an elephant? And well, you eat an elephant one slice at a time. And, you know, so while the end result and the end objective may seem overwhelming, you know, it's about taking the steps to get you where you want to get and you know, never lose track of where you're going, but focus on the steps. Right. And so that was probably one of the things. My previous work, I think just gave me a sense of how to look at the opportunities differently or with a critical eye, and how to actually look at them and say, well, here's an opportunity that is promoting or promising X. Here is another one that is promising the same, but maybe differently. And being able to weed through some of the if you will, the marketing language that's used, so you can actually get to understanding what is the opportunity.
Okay. And so then you got to the point where B Protech was rising to the top. and then you made the decision to purchase. So share with us the launch and the transition from that corporate life to self-employment, please.
Yeah, so I should mention one of the things that really caused or allowed B Protect to keep bubbling to the top was the people at the company itself. I was lucky in the sense that I happened to be down east in Ottawa, and I was able to actually go and physically visit with the management of the company. And for me, we talked a little bit about skills and transferable skills. For me, a lot of it is still the ability to read people and the ability to get a read on what kind of company it might be. And so that was key for me, was I was able to go down and meet with the management at the company, at the franchisor, and really get a sense of who the people are and what makes them tick, and whether or not they were personally going to be a good fit. So in terms of the actual leap, again, I think there's you delve into the unknown a little bit. I was a bureaucrat where budgets were given to me, and rules around spending were very strict. And you're going into a place where now you're talking to, I had been to the bank and asked for a personal mortgage in the past, but now I'm going into the bank and I'm taking my previous experience in terms of writing, and I had put together a business case, and I'm presenting it to the bank, and I'm looking for funding, right? And so, there was a lot of new experiences, but again, my previous life helped with that, and then just the approach of saying, let's deal with one step at a time and let's manage it, and quite frankly, huge amounts of support from the company.
And that's always great to hear. How long have you been a franchisee now?
Coming up on 4 years.
Okay.
This is my
And
fourth year of production, sorry.
the how long did it take you to get to full stride? Where I describe year one as a kind of a sacrifice. You're learning everything. You're everything you're making, you're putting back into the company. So it's survival. And learning. Year two is a build year, and then from there it's however the individual owner wants to scale. So share with us how that worked for you, please.
Yeah, and certainly, using your model, maybe I would look at it as I was maybe lucky. Having not heard your words, I might have said I was unlucky, but you're right. Year one, I got started, and the job, the work of B Protect, there is work all year round, but we do certainly have a busy season. We're applying epoxy coatings and polyurea coatings in garages and exteriors. So it's and I'm in Winnipeg. So if we're working in exteriors, there's a pretty defined season that we work. There are opportunities to expand the business and work 12 months of the year. But we certainly have a busy one or a busy season. For me, my first year, I got into it, and I finally signed and was able to get up and going in the 1st of August. So my first year was only a partial year in terms of our busy production season. And as such, it was exactly as you described, an opportunity to kind of get my feet in the ground, have a few building blocks on which I can then start fresh come next spring. And the second year was an exceptional season. The second year, I hit the ground running first thing in the spring because of the experience I had had the fall before. First year was one where, and it was in the plans. We knew what we were doing. So when we put together my cash flow models and my business plans and all the rest of it, it was something that we knew we had a short season the first year, and that we needed to think about how to finance through the off season, if you will, until we get started in the spring. So it was all well planned, but as you had described it, it was a chance to get my feet in the ground and get going, so that when spring hit, I knew exactly what I was expecting.
And that's an important message to our listeners who are considering franchise ownership, is creating that 2-year plan. It's one thing to have a spreadsheet to get what it looks like, but then when you do the workup behind the spreadsheet, and what is the work it takes, and oh, that might change the numbers. I've got to do that, and I've got to do like all the different components, right? So it sounds like you were very thorough in that. Did you have to become a technician first, or do you do more focus on the business generation and the overseeing, and you hire technicians?
So, my business model is one where I am chief cook and bottle washer. I do the sales, I do the actual installations myself, because that's what got me in excited about the job, was being able to do the work. So I do the sourcing, I do the paperwork that's needed to be done at the end of the month. But I have been able, and one of the things that was interesting about the B Protech opportunity was its scalability. I have fellow franchisees who are running 2 and 3 crews and are running, significantly larger enterprises than mine. Mine, I've chosen thus far to work by myself and work as a single as a single employee, and so I show up at your garage driveway, and I'll be there for 2 days, and I'll do the work, and then when we're done, hopefully I drive away, and I leave a smiling customer in the driveway. So my from my perspective, I haven't had to, and I haven't chose to necessarily grow the business, but I have, like as I said, several of my colleagues in different territories have grown. A gentleman that started 6 months before I did, he's bought into newer territories, and he's expanded his business, and he's brought on new crews. And so the scalability is an interesting consideration to think about when you're looking at a franchise.
So it very much so. The on the hiring then, so you haven't really got into that because that's not your model yet, or not you're executing that stage of your plan. For the franchisees that are doing it, do you hear much about labor challenges or finding or keeping employees? Because that's a challenge with every business, right?
Yeah, and for sure. One of the nice things about being a franchise is, the whole tagline, the franchise tagline of working for yourself but not by yourself, is very, very true on the B Protech side of things, where we have and we take advantage of the technology tools, and we've got group chats and group sites where we can all visit, and so I do hear and I do see some of the comments and some of the challenges around staffing. The company itself is dominated in Quebec and Eastern Ontario, and as such, you get in there and there's lots of opportunity. We just had a one of our franchisees had a big job and was able to borrow staff from another franchisee. So you're right. Staffing is a huge issue, especially in a business like this where it's seasonal. You get into Quebec, where there are all kinds of rules which I don't understand around the construction industry and hiring people into the construction industry. So it is a challenge. But it's also interesting. They just did a survey the other day, and I think one of the franchisees had an employee that had been there 6 years. So when you think about it as a construction industry, to have an employee that stayed for 6 years says a lot about that franchisee and the business and the way he runs his business, and the supports that he gets from the company.
You know, it's how sticky employees are to the franchisee is a reflection of their leadership style in part. Seasonal work, it's a little hard to, you know, when you restart every year, how well can you get the same crew back? Easier if you keep them busy through the winter. One of the things in the book that I just wrote, we talk about growing your people as one of the key drivers. And I interviewed over 30 top franchisees across a number of systems, and uniformly, the common theme across all the top franchisees was the mentality, Brian, that the employee is the most important repeat customer. And underperforming franchisees treated employees as a resource to be exploited or leveraged or consumed, pick a word, depending on what that light leadership style was. But the transition to, oh, I got to really look after my people before my customer, that's an important mindset for people who wanted to be a business owner.
For sure. And I see lots of supports. I haven't had the need to necessarily take advantage of those supports myself. But when you get into Quebec, for example, you know, there's opportunities for franchisees to work together on larger staffing opportunities, right? Where you know they're able to actually leverage off each other. But I think you're absolutely right. Showing up at a job site and not having your staff show up would be your biggest headache. So I think looking after your staff and making sure that you treat them as the most important part of your business, I guess, is probably critical to making sure you end up with good staff.
So you talked about scale earlier on, as you know, scalability is one of the reasons why you like this. What's the vision for your enterprise? Like, are you like, hey, I want to get a year or two more just being that chief cook and bottle washer that you said, doing everything, or you're starting to look at I really want to start building my team this year, Gary? Like, what's the vision?
Yeah, you know what? And I've got a vision, but I don't necessarily have a really strict timeline to it. Hoping that the growth is going to be more organic rather than forced. The industry itself out here is a lot less mature, I think, than it is down east. Ontario, Quebec, the industry seems to be a lot more mature. The clients and the consumer knows a lot more about the product than they do out west here. Some of that, I think, is just the nature of concrete down east and the way it gets beat up more so than maybe it does out here. My vision is certainly to look at opportunities to expand into other territories, to grow my business that way. And that once you start looking at buying into other territories, then you start, I think, looking at an organization model that is different, where, you know, you separate a little bit the administration, sales, marketing from the actual production. In my world right now, I'm able to manage both. But certainly, I think as production ramps up, you quickly lose the ability to manage the administration, the sales, the marketing, and the production all at the same time.
Enjoying the episode so far? Franchise Canada also has bi-monthly newsletters full of franchise opportunities. With Franchise Canada e-news, new content gets sent directly to your inbox, and you can keep up to date on the newest episodes of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast that you're listening to right now. Plus, you get a free subscription to Franchise Canada magazine. Join the 19,000 fellow franchisees, industry leaders, and aspiring entrepreneurs by subscribing at franchisecanada.online. Now, back to the episode.
Well, it's the age-old battle of the owner-operator versus the executive owner type of model. In a previous business I had, we were live in artificial tropical plants. And I was responsible for sales at the commercial enterprises. And we would do the installations in the downtown Toronto planters, the office towers would be two to five days. And one of the other senior team members said, you need to be doing on the installs as well. You know, and every day I'm in the dirt planting, I'm not selling.
Right.
So it's really important for prospective franchise owners when they look at a technical business, if they're on the tools, how much time do they need to be on the tools before they start scaling? Because at a certain point, it's a battle, isn't it?
Well, and certainly I think it is. And for me, it was a scheduling, I guess, challenge. And for me, it ended up saying that I would do production 4 days of the week, which then allowed me the fifth day, which then allows me the sixth and seventh for my sanity, but allowed me the fifth day to say, well, that's my day to do my marketing, my administration, my sales, my procurement, all those things. It was that way to really focus on sort of managing my week and my schedule. In part, I think, to manage my own sanity and to manage my own mental health. At the same time, managing the business.
Are you still doing that 4 day, 1 day, and 2 days of sanity, or are you doing more time on marketing and selling? It's taking longer than you thought.
You know what? No, I'm still pretty strict. You know, I'm not going to say that there haven't been weeks where I have stretched the 4 days into five. No, I've been pretty good, and maybe just lucky, but let's say good. That I've been able to restrict my production to the 4 days. Today is Thursday. It's the end of the day. Tomorrow is my admin day. So tomorrow will be Friday, and it'll be the day that I've got a pickup at the trucking where the product is coming in. I've got a couple of jobs that I need to go and quote. It's a product that, as much as I spend a lot of, well, not a lot, but I do spend some time and money doing print ads and different sorts of marketing. My best marketing is the yard sign at the end of the driveway where I've left a garage. And it's amazing the amount of work that I get through the company's referral system, where the best advertising is at the top of the guy's driveway. And I get, once I get one job on a street, I get two, three, four more down the same street. So the marketing hasn't gotten harder. I would say it was harder last year with the downturn of the economy a little bit, sort of post COVID. I think that was a little bit more difficult, but it was still a good year. This year I'm seeing it rebound again, almost not as high as it was during COVID, but certainly it's rebounding towards those numbers.
That's great to hear. Congratulations. I love hearing how different businesses and how the franchisees approach things. As we start to wind down the discussion today, Brian, what advice would you give would-be franchisees? Is there any like two or three really important things to pay attention to in there as they start looking at their options?
You know what? Get to know the company. Get to know the company. Get to know the people in the company. And like as I said earlier, I had the opportunity to actually go and meet face to face and have a cup of coffee. That's not always going to be possible, but where it is possible, take advantage of it. Get a feel for the people. I've told the people in our franchise company that it was 100% as a result of the relationship that I could see growing between myself and my business and them and the franchisor's business.
What you're talking about is the cultures and a values fit. VALUE.
Yeah. No, certainly. And I called it the relationship, but yeah, the values and the culture of the company, and just getting to see how they interact with each other, getting to see how they interact with me, you know, all important things they are going to be a big part of your business, especially in the first couple of years, I would suspect, maybe less so as you become more mature in your own. But what I've noted is a reliance on the franchisor for technical, for business, for management, for all those sorts of things. As time marches on, you become a lot more probably experienced in the actual production than even they are. So you can kind of wean that off. But in the early days, you're going to be tied at the hip to these guys and gals. And so it's going to be important that you have a good feeling talking with them. So that's one. Two, find something that every morning you're going to be, if not excited, at least happy to get out of bed to go do. Excited better, happy is okay. But find something like I did. It was a product that I already really believed in before I even found the company. So the last piece of advice would be to manage your time. I think we all just heard about the Toronto Maple Leafs general manager talking about the toll that his job took on him, and how he was going to have to step away and talk to his family. You know what? I think if it gets to that, you've already failed. So I think not only just in franchises, but in all sorts of business, I think you need to manage your time and manage your own mental health. It's too easy to say, I've got a business and I need to run and I need to focus and I need to earn more, more, more. So I think the last thing is to make sure that you have a reasonable and measurable and achievable plan, where you're not going to burn yourself out trying to climb a mountain. The company, I recall very vividly a conversation I had with the president of my franchisor as part of my training package. And he says, okay, let's map out your first month of production. And I wrote it all in and I had it all figured out and I was going to be busy, busy, busy. And he said, okay, Brian, it's going to rain on Tuesday. Oh, okay. So let's like back this up a bit and let's put together a plan where you'll be successful and you'll be happy and you won't burn yourself out. So that's the last piece of advice I would have for franchisees is make a plan that you're going to be able to achieve. Don't measure your success by necessarily others. As I was saying, ours is fairly scalable. I measure my success against my plan, not against the larger franchisees.
So I get goosebumps on my arms. I hear that because it's such an important message. A lot of people who do go into franchising, they like it because of the competitive nature, but it's measure your success against your goals. First, you got to have your goal. So you talk about the clarity around the plan and also expectations, time expectations, workload expectations, a number of income expectations and timelines, though. So those are all really important. So thank you for that. I want to go back to also what you said about having something to look forward to when you get up every morning. I have this discussion quite a bit with different people about it's. Some people say, I got to love the product or service. I got to really believe, I got to have a passion for the product or service. And I take a slightly different approach. I'd like to hear your opinion on it. I say you have to have absolute conviction for the product or service, the value proposition. You have to have passion for most of the work it takes to get that product or service in the customer's hands. Because ultimately, that's what you're going to be doing.
Yeah. And you know, maybe those are variations on a theme a little bit. In my mind, I think it's important that you enjoy the work you're doing, and that you enjoy the service you're providing to the others, to your clients. I often joke over the backyard fence while you're barbecuing, I'll talk to the neighbors and you can feel sorry for some of the other trades that are out working and they put in lots of hard work and they hand the client an invoice at the end of the day, and the client can't see anything. I'm very lucky, and I don't take it for granted. I'm very lucky that when I hand the client an invoice, they look back into their garage and they see a beautiful product. And so I had this conversation actually with the company. We have an annual convention, and I had the conversation at one point during one of our sessions that I said I enjoy actually, while the opportunities on the commercial side are endless, I enjoy the residential because there's a personal connection with the client, and you've done something for their home, as opposed to a commercial where a commercial job where they're saying, well, it's the company floor, it's the company warehouse, whatever the case may be. And you don't have that same personal investment. So one of the things I love is this afternoon, when before I left the job, the client was thrilled with the job I left him. He was thrilled with the way his garage, and he was looking forward to getting into his garage. And that's what makes it fun and easy to come to work.
It's such a cool, you think about it, it's what people go to every morning and come home to every night. They park their car in the garage, they got to leave, and they so you do a renovation to that space, and it's like every day you feel it, right? So there must be a lot of satisfaction in that. One of
It's
my favorite
the biggest room.
questions.
It's the sorry, it's the biggest room in your house.
I haven't looked at it that way.
Yeah.
You threw a curveball at me there. I've never thought about the garage being the biggest room in the house. One of my favorite questions, and I like to finish the podcast session with this question, Brian. What have I not asked you that you would ask you about your business?
What have you not asked me that I would ask me? Well, I guess the biggest question would be, would you do it again?
Okay.
And you know, I think I certainly would. I've had a great experience. It certainly had its challenges. It certainly had its speed bumps along the way. I think, you know, I expected there to be. So, you know, as much as you're not happy when they happen, you're not necessarily, it's not all doom and gloom, and the sky isn't necessarily falling. But yeah, I would do it again. I believe that the due diligence I did in choosing this company, and the work I put into getting to know them and being comfortable with them before I actually signed, has allowed me to say that, you know, it's been a largely, if not 100%, positive experience. Even the negatives, you know, are managed by this company in a really positive way. I've had nothing but support from the company. I've enjoyed, I look forward to every spring when it comes, because I'm going to get busy again. So, it's been a great experience. And the idea of being a franchisee, you know, you're still a private entrepreneur, but it brings with it all these other supports. And so certainly, from my perspective, it would have been very daunting to have done it without the franchise model. And I can't say that I would have had the success that I've had, without it being a franchise model and just going off and doing it on my own.
You know, thank you for that. If franchising is a great business acceleration model, it's a faster launch compared to start from scratch. It's a faster build compared to start from scratch, and it can scale better because the franchisees have so much resource and knowledge, like the intellectual brain trust, the support of the franchisor, and often, as importantly, sometimes more importantly, the support of all the other franchisees doing the same business every day. So as you bring those acceleration forces in, it's hard to compete against the franchise system when you've got that interdependence. So
And certainly, I think, you know, we can talk lots about what the company did, but the company set the culture, I think, for the franchisees. And it's the interaction between franchisees, is you know, there's no way you can overstate it. It is critical. It's terribly important. I always joke that I'm the Western Front. I'm in Winnipeg. The company's evolution to date has been to migrate westward, and they've left Quebec and they are now in Eastern Ontario. So I'm a time zone away still, but even then, the access I have to the other franchisees is incredibly helpful. When you get down into Quebec, the opportunities for them to just in terms of even sourcing product, does anybody have any of this? Yes, I can get it to you. There's you're absolutely right to state the importance of the network of franchisees as opposed to just the single relationship between franchisee-franchisor.
Well, thank you for your time today. People in Winnipeg hear the podcast and want their garage done. Where can they reach you?
They can reach me at blemon at bprotect.ca. That's my email address.
Thank you. It's a pleasure having you today. Good continued success and all the very best. Folks, thanks for listening today. That's a wrap for this episode of Franchise Canada Chats Season 7.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Franchise Canada Chats. Catch up on every episode of Franchise Canada Chats on SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your audio media. For more franchising resources, including how-to articles, expert advice, franchise success stories, and franchise opportunities, visit franchisecanada.online. Don't forget to subscribe to Franchise Canada eNews while you're there. You can also learn more about franchising at cfa.ca and connect with specific franchise opportunities at lookforafranchise.ca.